No, sadly, I'm not Charlene. I'm Jennifer Holmbo. I'm introducing today. Okay. Charlene Menenfield, was born in Oakland and grew up in Berkeley, where she currently resides. Charlene graduated from Berkeley High School at the age of 15 years old. 16, excuse me. I think it's that time where I'm needing glasses, so it's, bear with me. Okay. And then began attending the Southwestern Christian College in Terrell, Texas. At the age of 17 years old, Charlene's father was brutally murdered, so she returned home from Texas to be with her family during the turbulent time. Charlene graduated from Merritt College in Oakland and obtained an Associate of Arts degree in Business Administration. Charlene then moved to Abilene, Texas, and attended Abilene Christian University in order to pursue a Bachelor of Science in Computer Science. Charlene was baptized into the Lord's Church at the early age of 10 years old by Brother Roland Jackson at the 1469 San Pablo Avenue Church of Christ in Berkeley. She is now a member of the Southside Church of Christ in Richmond. As an adult, Charlene taught Sunday school classes with children's ages ranging from kindergarten to high school. She has also taught ladies' Bible classes and participated for many years in the California State Youth Conference as a youth counselor. Charlene was instrumental in starting the first Northern California Sermon on the Mount worship service, picnic, and adventure park entertainment held at Six Flags Amusement Park, which featured a young brother, Stacy Jones, a young brother, James Walker Jr., and a young brother, Rodney Stovall Jr. Charlene served as a board member for the 24-hour Oakland Parent-Teacher Children's Center, where she had an opportunity to interact with preschool-aged children. But most importantly, she would write and submit proposals to companies and foundations, obtaining much-needed financial resources to maintain the Child Development Center's presence in a low-income and high-risk community. Charlene believes that all children deserve an opportunity at an early childhood education in order to develop into young adults who can positively contribute to society. A few of Charlene's professional accomplishments have been working as a software quality assurance engineer for Microsoft Corporation and Apple Computers. She also worked as a systems engineer, architect, analyst for Bank of America and Wells Fargo Bank, as a source code management engineer for Electronic Arts, EA Sports. She currently works as a research assistant for the University of California Office of the President. Charlene's proudest and most rewarding accomplishment is being the parent of Akila Jackson Crossland, and the proud grandparent to Mackay and Malie Crossland. Charlene especially loved raising her daughter in the Lord and her daughter raising her sons in the Lord, as well as being present when each of her grandsons were baptized into the Lord.
Good morning. I'm Sister Charlene Menenfield from the Southside Church of Christ, and I want to thank you so much for inviting me to be here today. My lesson is extremely interactive, so I'm going to need you all to participate, okay? I have a number of scriptures that I'm going to have people read, so I'm going to give you the scripture. You can raise your hand. And you can read one of the scripture. I have about 15. So when I say the scripture name, then you can read it. So, once again, good morning, my sisters. I would like to say thank you to the sisters here at the Central Church of Christ for selecting me as their keynote speaker. This is a wonderful Ladies' Day program. Most of you sisters here at the Central Church of Christ selected me by faith and not by sight, because most of you sisters have never met me before today, but you have faith in my longtime friend and sister in Christ, Sister Sandy Lee. I hope that I can provide some words of spiritual wisdom to all of my sisters and provide some information that will assist you in your Christian walk. So, let's get started. I'd like to start with a prayer. Can you pray with me? Our Father who art in heaven, we come once again to you, thanking you for allowing each and every one of us to be here and to see another day. We pray that you will help me and guide me to have a ready recollections of all of the spiritual elements that I have studied and prepared for the ladies today. We also hope that what we say and the words that we read from the Bible will help and encourage each one of us as we walk this Christian journey. These blessings I ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
My lesson, as I mentioned, is very interactive. And I would like to begin in the book of 1 Corinthians. I began my study by doing some background research on the church in the city of Corinth and its residents, the Corinthians. Corinth was strategically located in the Roman province of Achaia. This church was located in the center of a trade route. It was on a narrow strip of land between the Aegean Sea and the Adriatic. Corinth's location made it a center of the trade routes, passing from east to west. When I was in Italy with my sister Teresa Williams here, I brought some pictures from Florence that gave me an idea. I try to visualize things that I read in the Bible. So I was looking at my pictures and I was saying, okay, this is Florence and it's in Italy and it's on the water. And maybe Corinth was similar to this. I also were in Venice and I was saying, okay, it's on the water also. So maybe Corinth may have been similar to this also. So prosperity in Corinth brought luxury and immorality. A popular saying at that time was to live like a Corinthian. This meant to live in gross immorality. Many pagan or heathen temples were located in Corinth, and they engaged in a sexually promiscuous way of life by keeping prostitute priestesses in their temples. I could only imagine that going to worship inside one of those temples was like going to a strip club, where the members brought their $1 bills to make it rain. I was wondering, as I was reading the book of Corinthians and researching my lessons, I was beginning to understand the purpose of Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians was to address some of the serious doctrinal and ethical problems that had arisen in the church. Some of the Corinthian Christians thought it did not matter what one did with his body, because the spirit to them was the important thing. Paul had to address questions of immorality at Corinth. It was shameful for them to allow a person living in gross immorality to continue in the church. And my sister who has 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, please read. Paul is startled by the Corinthian members, their laxity in dealing with a guilty church member. As immoral as life was in Corinth, this kind of sexual perversity was not even condoned by the Gentiles. Paul felt that the sin of this church member and the embarrassment it brought on the church should be mourned by the members, and that the son who was sleeping with his father's wife should be excommunicated from the church. Paul emphasized to the Corinthians that our bodies belong to Christ, our Lord. Can my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 13 through 20? Thank you. The Corinthian church members tried to justify or rationalize their sexual proclivities by reasoning that foods and the stomach were made for each other, and that both things pertain to this life only. Therefore, dietary regulations have no spiritual significance, they thought. They claimed that sexual desire was similar to hunger, So just as food and the stomach were for each other, so were the body and sexual activity. The body was for this life only, they thought. Therefore, sexual restrictions have no spiritual value. My sisters, isn't it amazing how as human beings, when we are caught in doing something wrong, we try and justify it? For example, remember reading in Genesis how Adam tried to justify eating the apple by telling God, "It was because of the woman you sent me." I have to admit, I've also tried this justification technique on the highway patrols. When I've been stopped for a speeding ticket, I have stated to the police officer that even though I am exceeding the 65 mile an hour speed limit, I was still probably within the 10 mile margin of error between 65 and 75 mile an hour speed, which logically, or maybe legally, should require that I should only be receiving a warning and not a speeding ticket. The police officer thought about this response, and then he said, "Well, since you were clocked at going nearly 100 miles an hour, I don't think your 10-mile margin of error applies. So can you just sign your name right here at the bottom of this speeding ticket? Thank you. Have a nice day." So back to 1 Corinthians. Paul disagreed with the Corinthians' attempt to rationalize their sinful acts concerning the human body. Paul describes how the body is meant for union with the Lord. It has an eternal destiny because the God who raised Jesus will raise our bodies. Can my sister read Romans chapter 8, verse 11? Paul tells the Corinthians the facts of the gospel. And I'll have my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. Thank you. Paul probably received some of his information about Jesus' gospel from the witnesses that were still alive from AD 33 until AD 55, when the Corinthian letter was estimated to have been written. This was only a 22-year period after Christ died and rose from the grave, so that our sins might be forgiven. Many of the people were still alive. Now, some of the Corinthians denied the gospel message of the resurrection of the dead. Paul explains that to deny our resurrection is to deny Christ rising from the dead. To deny Christ rising from the dead and to deny Christ's resurrection is to destroy the essence of the Christian message. Can I have my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 14? Thank you. There would be no validity of the preaching, the reality of the faith Paul states in verses 15 through 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do I have someone reading that? 15 through 17. Thank you. If the Corinthians' denial of the resurrection was true, then the preaching of the apostles would be untrue. The experience of sins forgiven would be untrue. And the assurance of eternal life would be completely untrue. Can I have my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 18 through 19? We would be the most pitiful creatures that God had ever created if the things that the Corinthians believed about the resurrection were true. I can recall as a young lady there was an older assistant minister that we had at the Berkeley Church of Christ. His name was Brother George Reed. And he would say that if you're outside the church, living it up in the world like you're going to hell, then don't come to church on Sunday morning and put the brakes on your living it up like you're going to hell lifestyle. Just take the brakes off and cruise right on into hell at full speed. So as our Christians, our hope lies in the true fact that of Jesus Christ's resurrection, Paul provides affirmation of the immortality of the human soul and the eternal state of the incomprehensible blessings for those whose sins are forgiven. Because of the resurrection of Christ, he has pointed us and then leads us to a future of life with him and God the Father, as long as we continue our walk in this lifetime from victims to victory. Because of Jesus' wonderful promise, we can be victorious over sin, even while we live inside these carnal bodies. In the book of John, chapter 14 and verses 16, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." The Holy Spirit is the Christian's helper. And the Apostle Peter describes in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, how to receive this wonderful gift that Jesus promised. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" It is so wonderful how God reveals himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But he communicates himself to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, as we return to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there are some members who denied the resurrection because they apparently could not understand how it could happen. So Paul addresses these naysayers in the following manner. Can my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 38? Thank you. I have at our congregation at Southside, we have our sisters, First Sunday sisters class. And we have our sisters, we speak and edify each other. So one of our sisters brought a lesson about the mustard seed. And I was like, this was so interesting because she brought in these little bitty, bitty, itty bitty mustard seeds. And she mentioned how when the seed is buried in the ground and it dies, it begins to sprout a new body, which grows as tall as 30 feet. Some of them can. I shared this information with my high school class during one of the Sunday school classes. And one of my students was just startled. She was like, "Sister Minifield, when you put the seed in the ground, it's going to die?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it'll die." I said, "But then it lives after die. You have to die." She said, "So that's why it's buried." I'm like, "Yes." "And so that's why we're buried." I'm like, "Yes, because we want to get our new bodies. We want to have to die, and then the Lord will provide us with our new bodies." And she's like, "I can get it now. I understand why things have to die." And I was like, "Isn't it wonderful? Sister Minifield wants her new body. Now I hope the Lord allowed me to choose. I like my 20-year-old body." Because it was only like 110 pounds. And I want it to last forever. And they laugh and they say, "Sister Minifield, you're doing a little too much now." But it's like before things grow into its new form or its new body, it's like flowers. It's like vegetables. It's like lemon trees. And on, it's wonderful to see the light when it goes on in a student's eyes, when they begin to understand. That is the process that our bodies have to go through. When we die and are buried and ultimately are raised up into our new bodies. We want to talk about some of the new bodies that God has already shown us and he has already created. This is the mustard seed and how it dies in the ground. And now you see as it's sprouting its new body, which looks completely different from the little seed that it was before. God has created so many wonderful bodies. Can I have my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 39 through 41? Thank you. God has created, as mentioned, so many bodies. People. I wouldn't mind having Megan's body either. animals, birds, heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and so much more. Can I have one of my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 45? Thank you. Our physical bodies are characterized by corruption. They are subject to decay. These bodies are dishonorable and weak in comparison to God. But our resurrected bodies will not decay, but will be filled with God's glory and made alive by his power. Can my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 22? Adam is the man through whom death spread to the entire human race. However, Jesus Christ is the greater man who overcame death by his resurrection. By having faith in him, Jesus Christ, we too will be made alive at the resurrection. Another scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 46 through 49. And we're almost done, my sisters. Adam as a mortal being was made from and returned to the dust of the earth. He represented all humanity. The last Adam is the Son of Christ, is the risen Christ, who is an eternal life-giving spirit. He will give to all those who believe him an eternal body like his own, which is fit for heaven. I do not know about anyone else in here, but I do not want to take this old broke down body to heaven. I experienced so many aches and pains inside my 59 years. For instance, I have sciatica in my right and left legs. I have a degenerate disc in my lower back. I have muscle spasms in my left leg from my hip all the way down to my calf. I have vitiligo on my hands, on my face, on my body, my chest, my thigh. Ooh, Lord. And on my face. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Don't let me get started on my internal pains. Please. I experience in my stomach, in my head, so much pain. I don't want to take this body anywhere. I don't want this body right now. So I don't want to take it to heaven. So I definitely will not take these problems with me to heaven. Since we were given this natural body first as a result of our physical birth, we are so blessed that once we are born again through baptism and obedience to God's word, we become qualified to receive our spiritual bodies. Can my sister read John chapter 3, verse 3? This is Jesus' answer to Nicodemus. This second birth is a transformation of our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which will enable us to experience the fullness of life in the kingdom of God. My sister, can you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53 through 56? Thank you. The sting of death is sin. This means that sin brought physical death into the world, and unrepented sins bring eternal death. The strength of sin is the law. This means that the law shows us how far short of God's standards we have fallen. and this increases our accountability for sin. In Romans chapter 7, let's see if I can read that for you, sisters. Verses 7 through 12. I had to put my glasses on. This is what happens when your body starts decaying. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, unjust, and good." Paul describes how the specific commandment of the law made the knowledge of sin clearer. Then sin takes advantage of our clearer knowledge to stir us to rebel and leads us into greater sin. The purpose of God's law was to show us how to please God in order for us to have eternal life with Him. But sin twisted God's purpose for the law so that it actually brought spiritual death. Last scripture, my sister read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Because of what Christ has done for us, we have victory over sin. Now, and be assured of our coming resurrection, just like the glorious victory of Christ's resurrection is encouragement, it should be encouragement for all of us to thrive in God's work. One of my sisters had mentioned at Southside that we should discuss things that we have been victims of and have become victorious over. And you can say amen if these are things that you have become victorious over as victims, or you can just shake your head. Or some of us has been a victim to depression. We have been a victim to drugs. We have been a victim to alcohol. We have been a victim to premarital sex. We have been a victim to telling lies. We have been a victim to gossiping. We have been a victim to abuse. We have been a victim to overeating. We have been a victim to overspending. We have been a victim to living beyond our means. We have been a victim to cursing. We have been a victim to procrastinating. We have been a victim to gambling. We have been a victim to stealing. You don't have to stand up, sister. We have been a victim to bullying. We have been a victim to not loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we have all been victorious over so many things that we have been victims to. But finally, and I'm closing, when I was reading this lesson, I was looking at the title of your Ladies' Day program, Walking from Victim to Victory. I just kept thinking about how Christ took that walk to the cross to be a victim for each and every one of our sins. Someone who was blameless, someone who was victimless, but he took on that walk. And this song kept coming to my mind, the old rugged cross. And I had my older brother sing it for me, and I'd like for you all to listen. Thank you, ladies, for your attention. I really appreciate, and I really appreciate you all, and I hope I've said something that could help you in your spiritual walk.